Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It, of course, is a Monday night, and we got Monday night football going on in the Dallas Cowboys. We're coming toward the end of the first quarter, and they are up 14-7 over the Philadelphia Eagles. So far, it's a decent game. We'll see if that continues or does it evolve into a blowout? All right, third hour of the show. And we got Marcus Cromartie, former NFL defensive back, now an NFL analyst, joining us at the bottom of the hour. Keep it locked for that. All right.
I'm feeling good on my prop bets, Chris. I got everything already. I just need Amari Cooper to get 40 yards and for the Cowboys to win by 3.5. And I got some loot coming. Everything else has already been, the boxes have already been checked.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, man. Good
luck.
Maybe
right
you
there.
Maybe you get those Louis Vuitton cup holders after all for your ride.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, look, we're going to reset our lead of the show, which was Aaron Rodgers. Looked really good last night. Still, Rob hasn't had a 300-yard passing game. But he's had 6 touchdowns, no picks in his last 2 games. So, and obviously the comeback victory last night, 37 seconds left. He marches down the field and they get in field goal position to really, you know, override that opening week loss and get to 2-1 and really get back to looking like one of the best teams in the NFL.
That's in the rearview mirror now. And even when you look at the Saints, I know they won in New England, Chris, and now they're 2-1. But I think their second loss made you say, I don't know how really good the Saints are, and was that Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right? And now you're looking at it going,
I would think the Packers are better than the Saints.
Exactly. Even after that butt whooping in game one, if you look at those two teams now, and especially winning a game like San Francisco. Remember, San Francisco was 2-0, and they were at home. That's a big road win, and the Packers were 3-point underdogs on the road, which they should be in that situation. So that's a big upset.
I think the reason, and one thing you saw from Rodgers was emotion. I mean, he was hyped after they got the win, and he was even hyped, Rob, once he got him in the field goal range. And Mason Crosby had to deliver, and he did. I think it was a 51-yarder.
Mason is a really good kicker for a long time.
Yeah, he is.
He makes big kicks.
Yeah. I mean, when he went out there, Rob, I thought he was going to make it.
Did you? You didn't have any
doubt. And that's not saying a lot. That's saying a lot, I should say, for a 50-something-yard kick, you know? So he's definitely one of the best in that at that position. But Aaron was emotional, Rob. And I think, look, that shows you that he's engaged, that he's all in, regardless of how he may feel about the organization, about the leadership, about Brian Gutekunst, the GM. And maybe that relationship is getting better. I don't know. Gutekunst has said it's a work in progress. Whatever the case, I think Rodgers is all in for his players, his teammates, and his coaches at the
it
very
looked like
least.
That.
And
it,
the fans,
that, you can't fake what that was last night, Chris. Like, being excited or being engaged.
Right.
Like that, that's just, that was raw emotion. He just was like thrilled that they pulled it out, and to have that kind of comeback is in that spot with no timeouts and 37 seconds. Those are the ones you dream about, you know, like can I make it happen? And he made
right.
it happen.
Well, I think one of the reasons he was so charged up, Rob, was because it was San Francisco.
Yep.
And San Francisco, when healthy, which was last time, was 2019. I mean, they absolutely owned a really good Packers team that year. Packers team that was 13-3 and got to the NFC title game. And they just blasted them twice. and they were more physical and tougher than Green Bay was. And last night, it looked to me, Rob, like Green Bay was the tougher team physically at the line of scrimmage, at the point of attack. I thought the Packers more than held their own. And I know Rodgers loved seeing that.
No doubt. No doubt. That had to make him feel good about where this team is. And they've won 26 regular season games, Chris, or have lost only six over the last two seasons. And, you know, they're going to be in the mix in the NFC. We'll see how it all shakes out. It's a long way to go.
Right.
They got off on a bad foot, and people talk bad about them, and maybe this isn't going to work out and whatnot. But I don't think that any of that is where they are now. And now, Chris, do you have their schedule in front of you? Can you you see their schedule? Because I think they have
I think they have a pretty tough schedule, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it wasn't that bad. Like, the San Francisco game to me was a big game on their schedule. But who do they play next? I thought it was
their next three are Pittsburgh, which doesn't look as tough as it did a couple weeks ago. Cincinnati, that's not a gimme. I mean, they're 2-1, and then Chicago.
See that,
and then
that
Washington,
could be,
that Arizona, could be. And then
I got three or four before they get to Arizona. I'm not saying they're automatics, but they could, Chris, run off six in a row with that schedule. Definitely
right.
Pittsburgh.
Which, I mean, look, right. That's what I expect. I think they're one of the better teams in the league.
No doubt.
I entered the season thinking they were the second best team in the NFC, although I did pick the Rams to meet the Buccaneers in the NFC title game. But I mean, the Packers are there. My pick in the AFC, Rob, and overall, as you know, was the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 1-2. They got a losing record for the first time in Pat Mahomes' career. Now, I'm not off them. I still feel fine with my pick. You know, I think now, Rob, we react. It's just the nature of the business today with all of these. And, you know, when you and I were coming up in the business, you didn't have all of these talk shows on television.
Because you didn't have 24-hour sports talk.
Right.
I mean, right.
You didn't have
around.
A lot of national radio shows. You had local ones, right? You didn't have national ones. And because now you do, I think we kind of treat the NFL, and you saw this with Rodgers, to be honest, in the first week.
Which was ridiculous,
I think we treat the NFL like college football. You know what I mean? Like, every week is a referendum on where a team is at. And so I'm not treating it that way. I think it's early. Dare I say, relax, like Aaron Rodgers did.
Relax.
But I'm not off the Chiefs at all, although that defense is leaky as a mug. But where you at on Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, I'll tell you that. They really don't, and they got to get this thing turned around. And Mahomes has had, what do you have, two picks yesterday, Chris?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had two picks, and one pick set up the game-winning drive for the Chiefs, right? A pick.
He's got three this year, which is for him, like, he's on pace to throw the most in his career.
He's got three. And how many did he have last year? Do you have the number?
Six, I think.
So he's got three
and
in three
five
games.
The year before. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't
lot.
Throw a lot of interceptions.
And one was, that was 2 weeks ago. Remember that one? We just kind of was falling down and threw it up
right.
for grabs. That was a bad one. Yeah.
That was like Rodgers against New Orleans. He threw
right. Well, you
like
just throw it up, right. throw it up for grabs, and you can't do that because it's you think you're going to make a completion, Chris, but you're not. You're going to give the ball to the other team. But anyway, I'm a little worried about the Chiefs and where they are from the standpoint of the defense.
Right.
I just think that they're and Mahomes is scoring. They scored 24 yesterday. What was the other game they lost? When they lost to Baltimore, they had over 30, Chris.
Oh, yeah. They had 35.
They had 35, and they lost. So
yep.
So I'm like.
And they had 33 against Cleveland. So
right. So you start to scoring. Look and go, okay, they're scoring points, but their defense can't stop anybody, and that's the scary part. And now Patrick Mahomes can't make a mistake. You know, like
right.
he can't.
Right. He's got to be perfect.
Almost
perfect. That's a great point. And look, the division is tougher, right? The Raiders, at least at this point, look like they're for real. The Chargers look like they're for real.
The Chargers can easily be 3-0, Chris. I mean, let's just be honest with that Dallas game.
They should
game,
they be,
gave
to be
away.
Honest. Yep.
They gave that game away.
So now there aren't gimmies in that division. And Denver looks pretty good. So there aren't the gimmies in that division that there were a few years ago. And you know I love Mahomes, and I still think he's got GOAT potential. But he's also, Rob, got a little bit of Steph Curry in him, which it means like little showboat,
little
recklessness here and there.
Yeah.
You know, here and there. I mean, this obviously doesn't mean he's not an all-time great player, but a little bit of that in him. You know, like the no-look pass. The first interception yesterday was a no-look pass, which was sweet if it's complete. But he threw it a little bit behind the receiver and a tad bit high. Just enough. Now, he should have caught the ball. But it still was thrown off just enough.
Right.
Where it bounced off the guy's hands. He didn't make the good catch, which it would have been a good catch. And it turns into an interception. And the guy was wide open enough, Rob, and Mahomes had enough daylight where he could have looked at the dude and thrown it to him, and that would have alerted the receiver that I'm coming to you,
rather
right?
than just trying to be yep. dipsy doodle cute.
Right, right, right. So I think, like you said, now with that defense, to be honest, looking worse than it has even the last 2 years when it wasn't great, he doesn't have room for stuff like that right now. And so they got to get back to taking care of the football. They had four turnovers yesterday. But I'm with you. The biggest part is the defense.
Yeah, you can't. And I think if I read it correctly, Chris, because I was at the Lions game, but the Chiefs, and I saw some, you know, the highlights, but I didn't see every play. And the Chargers scored 21 points off those turnovers. I mean, that's a ball game. You can't you can't give up 21 points.
Huh? 4-0 was the turnover situation. 4-0. 4-0. It's hard to win.
And they got 21 points off of them. So there's your ball game, and you can't allow that to happen. And there's stuff that's got to be shored up. So they got a wake-up call because, Chris, they're in last place.
Right.
And that ain't an easy division. You can sit there and go, oh, yeah, they'll get there. They'll be there. You know, if they don't get it righted, they're going to have three teams to jump over.
Yep.
It ain't that easy to jump over three teams.
Yep.
Somebody's winning.
Yep, no doubt. So they got to get it together quick, fast, and in a hurry. And like I said, I think they will, but they better start delivering.
So who's their next game, Chris? Is that the
Kansas
Chiefs?
City's next game is against Philadelphia.
Okay.
And so then they got the Bills. Right?
So they need that Philly. They need that Philly game for sure.
They definitely need Philly. The Bills will be tough. Then they got Washington, Tennessee, which won't be a gimme. They're starting to look better. Especially, you know, Kansas City's had trouble against the run. Yesterday they actually defended the run pretty well, but overall they're a bad run defense. And here's a couple quick stats for you about how bad the defense has been, Rob. They are tied with the hapless, as you know this as well as anybody, Detroit Lions for being last in the league with points allowed, 31.7 per game.
What?
Yes. And teams have made 13 trips to the red zone against them this year. 12 of them have ended in touchdowns.
Wow.
Think about that.
They're not stopping anybody. That's
no.
Bad.
So they got to fix a lot of stuff, and most of it is on the defensive end. All right. We're going to throw it out to you guys, though. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Is it time to hit the panic button on Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll continue the conversation with you next. Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. I am Chris, he is Rob, and we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Dallas Cowboys up 20-7 on the Philadelphia Eagles midway through the second quarter. So
what's up with all these missed extra points? It cost me $750 yesterday. Stop
it's
it.
It's a lot more missed extra
am
points
I right?
nowadays. Yeah, I think it's good that they moved the line back. I think it just makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
Because obviously guys are missing more than they ever did. So it's been good. A little more excitement. But, yeah, it cost you some money, huh?
Cost me some shekels yesterday.
Well, you
Man.
Might get it back tonight. You might get it back tonight.
I might.
We'll see.
I'm looking at this game so far. I'm okay right there. I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch, but we're not bad. All right, 877-99 on Fox. Here's a chance if you do want to get in on this, Chris, on the Kansas City Chiefs and their woes. There's no way we would have thought they would be here.
All right, we got Marcus Cromartie coming up in about 10 minutes, but for now we're going to go to Pittsburgh. And we talked about this, Rob, with Rod Woodson, former Steeler. But the Steelers, after a great win to open the season, 23-16, shocked Buffalo in the Bills' house. They have looked bad the next 2 weeks. Now, they lost to the Raiders last week, 26-17. Look, Raiders are undefeated, looking like a pretty good team. That loss, maybe you can live with. They went down 24-10 to the Bengals last night. And, Rob, they just looked horrific. That Bengals, I mean, I don't know when the last time. Rob G, do you know the last time the Bengals beat the Steelers?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's been a long, well, okay, 2015. Not as long as I thought, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, it seems like it was longer, yeah.
Yeah, you get the idea. But Ben Roethlisberger, Rob, some people are calling for him to get benched. He's got 3 touchdowns. 3 interceptions on the season. He's quarterback rating 79. He's throwing for 801 yards, which isn't horrific, but that, you know, that doesn't tell the whole story. Here's my problem with that, Rob. And he looks bad. He looks every bit of the 39 years old that he is. Is it 39?
Chris,
am I right on that?
Give me credit. I've been saying that I'm off, Ben. You remember since last year?
Yeah, I mean, he last year obviously looked all right early. But, yeah, he fell apart once their run game fell apart.
Right.
And, yeah, he looks bad. There's no doubt. But here's my problem with going away from Ben. Number one, who you going to? Rob, Dwayne Haskins, we don't hear anything about him. Like,
I know, he's
nothing.
Buried. Is he even on the team?
He is, but, that dude must be bad.
But
and so you don't hear anything about him. We saw Mason Rudolph a couple years ago, and that wasn't pretty. So, number one, you don't have a better option. So, you might as well stick with Ben. This is last year. If you want it to be, which you should want it to be.
No, right? I think you would be forced to make this his last year. But let me give you this, Chris, real quick. Because the Steelers have played 8 games since their unbeaten streak was snapped. You remember that in December, okay? So,
yep.
Since then.
They're 11-0.
So they right. Remember, I was the worst 11-0 team ever. But,
right.
But they, since then, they're 2-6 in those games. They have the NFL's worst rushing attack. Ben is 238 for 375. That's 63%. 2,305 yards, which is just 6.15 yards per attempt, Chris. And we just talked about it. 8 games. He has 15 touchdowns and a staggering 11 INTs. And a quarterback rating of 81.69. So the running game is terrible, and I get that.
That's
but he hasn't played that great either.
That well, the lack of a run game. And I said this, Rob, about Tom Brady, and obviously Tom Brady's much better than Ben at this point. But when Brady was in his last year in New England, it was like, okay, he's still good, but he can't carry mediocre talent at the skill positions the way he used to be able to. And now you see he goes to a team that's loaded at those positions, and he's been revitalized. Ben Roethlisberger can no longer carry a team the way he used to. All right, and even then, when he was still in his prime, Rob, he had good running games with Le'Veon Bell and even James Conner for 1 year.
For a hot minute, right. He
right.
didn't last, right.
Yeah, he lasted, and he even got hurt that 1 year. He yep. looked great till he got hurt late in that season. But when it fell apart with them last year, Bud Dupree got hurt on the defensive side of the ball, and the run game fizzled. And that was when they start throwing the ball. Like yesterday, Ben threw it 58 times, Rob. That's ridiculous. And you talked about average yards per attempt.
You're not going to win, Chris.
It was 5.5 yards per attempt.
58 times.
Not at this stage in his career, no way. And like you said, he's only averaging 5.5 yards per attempt. So that is essentially their run game. These little dinks and dunks, they're doing that instead of running the football because they can't run the football. So it's not all on Ben. Your run game's horrible. Your offensive line is horrible. But he still is clearly not the guy he used to be. And Rob, I don't bench him now because what are you going to? But I'm just thinking this is it. This is the last year for Ben. And we got to start looking at plan B going forward at quarterback.
Yeah, I think you can't be loyal to a fault, Chris.
Yep.
You got to get out.
Did we lose Rob?
Right? Hello?
Or did he go into the kitchen to
cook
some bologna and cheese? And now he's hitting his mic.
I'm here. Can you got me?
Yeah, I got you. Oh, you had technical difficulties.
Yeah, no bologna and cheese right now.
No, that was us on our end. Rob, you're good.
Okay.
All right. That was Rob G. That was your fault, Rob G.
He kicked the plug out. Can you plug it back in, please? Thank you. No, I was saying, Chris, you can't be loyal to a fault and live on the past. Ben was great for the organization.
Right.
Won you a couple Super Bowls. We gave you a parade for all that. Do you know what I mean? We acknowledge that. You were great. You're going to always be a Steeler great. People will always love you in that town no matter what. I mean,
he'll be a Hall of Famer.
You believe that stuff, even though he didn't get in on that touchdown against Seattle in that Super Bowl, because I was at that one in Detroit. You remember
that? It's too soon, bro.
I'm sorry. He didn't get in. That was ridiculous. But anyway, he did win the two Super Bowls and gave people in Pittsburgh a lot of joy over the years. They were an organization. They never finished under 500, since Tomlin's been there, and Big Ben's been a big part of that. So all that kudos, but sometimes it's time to bow out. And I know he took a pay cut, Chris, to stick around, but this got to be it no matter what. And they better get somebody ready.
Yep, no doubt.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
20-7, Dallas Cowboys over the Philadelphia Eagles late in the second quarter. And Rob, like I said, as a guy that picked Dallas to win that division, make the playoffs, it's kind of good to see from a prediction standpoint, but you'd like a little more excitement in your Monday night football. So
yeah,
maybe this, Philly, we'll see if, you know, you need a little drama.
And again, preferably. I don't think we didn't think Philly was that good. You know what I mean? And I know they shocked everybody with that first win, but since then, Chris.
But we just found out how bad Atlanta is too.
Yeah. So that didn't right.
Didn't
exactly.
Think,
you're right.
Think they were that
so
bad.
We know that. And that tells you how bad the Giants are because they lost to Atlanta.
Right. Absolutely. Man. All right, we welcome in our next guest, Marcus Cromartie, former defensive back in the NFL, now an NFL analyst. Marcus, great to have
What's
you, man.
What's happening?
What's going on, Chris? What's going on, Rob?
Doing good.
We're good,
how about
brother.
You?
Now, look, before we get to the NFL, I got to give you some flack over Wisconsin.
Uh-oh.
I mean, that's your alma mater. What in the world? I mean, Notre Dame's pretty decent this year. They're still undefeated. But 41-13?
I think Vegas got something out against us, man. They done favored us in every single game this year. And we done almost lost every single game this year. Again this week. We played Michigan this week. We're favored again. So I don't know what's going
Y'all
on.
Y'all favored over Michigan?
We were favored over Michigan. We were favored over Penn State. We were favored over Notre Dame. But somehow we keep losing.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yeah, that
I don't
is
know,
strange,
man.
My man.
Let me
go ahead,
Rob. Let me start. I'm going to start with last night's game. And Aaron Rodgers in the last 37 seconds as a defensive player. What did he do right? Is that hard to play? Or could we see people able to move the ball at the end of games on defenses and get in position to kick field goals? It happens a lot. I was at the Lions-Ravens game, and they were able to get a pass completed to set up the 66-yard field goal. But what did you make of Aaron Rodgers and what he did with no timeouts and 37 seconds?
Well, I think the worst thing you can do in that situation for somebody who sees the field so well is to play zone. You got to get up in the face of those receivers, and you got to pressure the quarterback. You got to make him make quick decisions, because if you let him just sit back with just all this time in the world, he's going to be able to throw it between the numbers and the hashes without any doubt, right over the linebacker's head. So you need to put pressure in his face, get the corners in those receivers' face, and make him make difficult throws and make those receivers make difficult catches. Because when he's putting that ball between the numbers and the hashes, and this is in zone coverage, it's like, picking fish in a barrel, So I thought they made it way too easy for him. He did what he's supposed to do with a guy like that, what we've seen him do numerous of times through the years.
I totally agree, Mark. I thought for late in the game, 37 seconds left, no timeouts, that defense was just too soft. I mean, it was almost like they were willing to give him some passes, and they only needed a field goal.
Right.
Yeah, and you saw what happened. But we're seeing a lot of high-octane offense, all right? Tampa Bay, they didn't do it much this week. But the Rams, obviously the Packers recently, the Bills, like putting up all these points. And we're seeing some bad defenses, some of those same teams, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, so on and so forth. And I heard Steve Young talking today on a radio show. And he was saying, the great Hall of Fame quarterback, he was saying the defenses are at such a disadvantage now because of all the rules changes. Because
you can't touch anybody.
Especially early in the season, they're way behind the offenses. Is that – I know you retired a few years ago, but is that your feeling as well, and having been a defensive player, they basically have put the handcuffs on the defense?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think, I heard Tom Brady speak on this weeks ago about how quarterbacks used to know not to throw the ball in the middle of the field because he was going to get his players hurt. Now you see quarterbacks throwing in tight spots more now than ever, because they know even if my receiver don't catch the ball, he's more likely to it to be a helmet-to-helmet, a pass interference, or anything. It's so hard to play fast now because you have to be worried about, not only hurting your team in the game, but they're hurting these guys' pockets. I'm talking $20,000-$25,000 where you're getting your paycheck and you owing rather than receiving. And so, no player wants to play like that. So you got these players who they're not playing fast. They're scared of penalties. They're scared of, the way they're contacting these players. You just don't and honestly, you're just changing the game because it can be a third down, third down and 15 or third down and 10 or even a third down and 5 and you can be getting off the field and they throw some bogus flags because they hit the quarterback maybe a tad second too early, and that can just change the whole shift of the game. And I know I was kind of against the whole being able to challenge every penalty. I thought they kind of messed up the game, but because it kind of made the game long, but it just seems like there's way too many flags in crucial times where it just totally changed the game. And it'd be like, and the flags are what was the very essence of the game of football.
What about Kansas City and how bad their defense is? What's the problem there? We know they have an issue with stopping a run, but they've given up. I don't know, Chris, what'd you say? They're second to
31.7 points a game. Yeah, tied with Detroit.
With Detroit, I mean, they're giving up points like that. Why are they so bad?
Well, you almost got to say it starts with coaching. I mean, they have talent. They have Tyrann Mathieu. They have a great D line. So, what is the problem? And it's so crazy because you watch this Chiefs defense, and it's either last year it was either they do really good or they do really bad. You never got to see them be a consistent defense. Really, for the past couple of years. And so Maybe they spend too much money on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe it's a lack of coaching. But I know whatever it is that's going on there, they haven't figured it out. And one thing, when you're playing teams like the Chiefs and the DBs, I know as DBs, we knew that other teams were going to throw the ball quick because we're probably going to be ahead. So, you know, when the Chiefs are playing, you know Mahomes is going to put up 30 points a game. So, you know, the other team's going to have to throw the ball. So maybe the Chiefs need to rely more on their run game and use more time of possession. But something isn't going right over there on that side of the ball.
Justin Fields, everybody had been clamoring for him to get in the game and, you know, play, get some playing time over Andy Dalton. He got his first start yesterday, and it was a mess. What did you make of what we saw from him yesterday?
Well, I mean that the coach didn't give him enough easy completions. You know, when you only have two pass attempts in the first, like, 20 minutes of the game, like,
it was unbelievable. You're right.
It's unbelievable. Like, they didn't even set up a game plan for him to be successful. When you're going out there, and as a young quarterback, especially one that's mobile, you should be doing bootlegs. You should be doing, you know, easy screens, rollouts, things to get the quarterback some rhythm, you know, so maybe some QB options. But, you know, when you're going out there and you just basically not even giving him his strengths and then expecting him to succeed, it's never going to work. It's almost as if Bill Nagy was just like, here, just do it, do whatever. You know,
some people said they thought it almost looked like he sabotaged him.
See, but his job is on the line. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I don't think his
job is on the line. Why would he sabotage?
That's how bad the game plan was. I don't think he did. That doesn't, you know, I can't imagine he did.
I mean, the way they looked, you would have thought the Bengals was not the, you know, the first pick a couple years ago. You would have thought the Bengals was just a great team. I mean, they're a decent team, but it wasn't like they was playing a top 10 team in the NFL. And so when you would think he would have a little more success than he did. And so I have to say a lot of that is coaching. You know, these quarterbacks, when you're a rookie quarterback, they want you to stay within the parameters. And how they get you to stay within those parameters is play calling. And so when you make the play calling so lukewarm where he can't be successful, I don't see him as had any chance to kind of thrive so far.
Is Big Ben finished? Right now, I take Uncle Ben over Big Ben. It looks bad in Pittsburgh.
I mean, you look at that division, and it's easy to say the Steelers are the worst team in that division.
Oh yeah,
and they have a terrible O line. Big Ben has looked like, you know, old Ben, and so I don't know what you can do because they went and
right,
they got
who
a run
going to. Right.
They went and they got a running back first round when they should have got probably some O-line, and they thought, you know, getting Najee Harris was going to, you know, help solidify and make their O-line look good, and he's been getting hit behind the line more than any other running back in the NFL. So they got a lot of problems, and it's going to – Big Ben, they might need to draft a quarterback first round next year, or they just might need to just get one in free agency, but they need to fix that O-line first and foremost.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, Marcus, great stuff, man. We appreciate your bluntness, man, calling it like you see it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, we're watching the worst division in football right now.
I'm going to just say this.
The Cowboys, they don't look good. It's the Eagles that's looking bad.
So really, you're not impressed with the Cowboys?
I'm not impressed at all. I'm not impressed with anybody from this division, honestly. But especially the Cowboys.
They should win that division. If they don't win that division going away, there's a problem. Don't you think?
McCarthy's not going to be coach if they don't win that division.
I mean, they should win this division without. They got the most talent.
Yep.
Clearly, in terms of roster, and it just can Mike McCarthy not mess it up?
Yeah. Hey, that's where it is. That's Marcus Cromartie. Former NFL defensive back. Great stuff, brother, as always. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Yep. All right, more Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio coming your way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple wrapping up a Magic City Monday. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we have talked wall-to-wall NFL. But we're going to take a break from it and go to the MLB because, Rob, the playoffs have started.
You know what?
I mean,
that's a good
you know
way of leading into it. You're right.
the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and to be honest, Seattle's still alive.
Seattle's still alive, but Chris, right. The Yankees, Red Sox, 3-game series in Boston. The Yankees went into Boston, right down. They were 2 games behind the Red Sox. They sweep the series. And I'm going to give a public apology.
And now they're leading the wild card right now.
Yeah, they lead by 1 game. Yep. But Brian Cashman, the general manager, Chris, who pulled the trigger to get Giancarlo Stanton from Miami. You remember that?
Yep.
And he hadn't been able to stay healthy, right? And
been banged up the last 2 years.
Yep. And people were down on him. But boy, Chris, his last year in the playoffs, he had a number of big home runs. But boy, in that series in Boston, 3 home runs, including a grand slam, 10 RBIs in a 3-game sweep for the Yankees. Let's take a listen to one of them.
The pitch, there it goes. Deep left, it is high. Mid is far. There it is, gone. Another Stantonian home run.
He has been must-see TV, Chris, the way he's swinging the bat.
Well, he's had a nice year, 34 homers, 93 RBI. He's healthy, you know.
And how many games? He's played over 130, right?
Right,
he's played a lot of games.
That's been the key. He and Aaron Judge, both similar seasons, very similar numbers. But you said you apologized to Brian Cashman. What if they don't make the playoffs? I mean, yes, Stanton's been great. He was great this series. He's been very good this year. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I'm saying,
are you still...
Yeah, I'm
there?
Saying, like, people, I was one of them, critical of the way the team was put together with right-handed hitters. And, you know, the short porch in right field. They've always had great left-handed power hitters, right? The Yankees have always. Right. And so this was different by going out and getting another big right-handed hitter. But it doesn't matter with the ballpark. Stan can hit him anywhere. Can hit him the right field, left field, center field. In Boston, he hit it out of the stadium. So I'm saying that with these two guys healthy, this is what we've been waiting for to see. You know, the Yankees could never really get on track because it was like one of them or both of them were always hurt. Yep. I'm just saying, I'm looking at Stanton now. If this guy stays healthy, he's a guy you go to the ballpark, you want to buy tickets to watch. I mean, he's also
marketable.
Well,
they were your
marketable.
Pick. Weren't they your pick to win it all?
Yes.
So, yeah. So, they look, if those two are healthy, obviously the pitching has to be there.
Yep.
But they're a threat. There's no doubt about it. They are an absolute
threat. And
their
pitching, Chris, is better than people think. The Yankees are sixth in baseball in pitching. Like, you wouldn't think that they were that high, but that's how they've been able to stick around. Because you remember they went through some offensive struggles in midseason, and now they're swinging the bats great. But what a great series. I know people in Boston are pissed because, you know, you don't want to get swept at home. That's, like, the last thing you want.
But, Rob, I mean, like I said, the playoffs have begun. So what do the Yankees get for a reward for a sweep in Boston? And they've won 6 straight. They swept the Rangers, too. They got the Blue Jays.
Right.
And
now
your boy Vlad Jr.
No.
So, and then they got the Rays, the best team in the American League.
Right.
So, I don't know. Will Tampa Bay take it easy and rest their guys? Maybe.
They
but
might
they
at that
don't,
point. Right. But the
Yankees are not out of the woods by any stretch.
No. I mean, they got to win some games still in the last 6, but their big guys, Chris, are the ones. And last night there was a play too in the 8th inning where Aaron Judge looked like he was struck out. But the catcher didn't hold on to the 3rd strike, and Joe West was the home plate umpire and called it a foul tip. And you know you have to hold it, Chris, right?
Right.
You have to hold it. You can't let it hit the ground. So he got new life. And, of course, he wound up doubling in 2 runs when it looked like he was struck out and the Red Sox were going to get out of that inning. So that became a big play. But those two guys, and you just said it, their numbers are very similar. I mean, read off Judge's numbers. Both are having really good years, and both are producing when they need big hits from their big guys.
Yep. Now, we had talked last week about Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Right.
You know, winning the Triple Crown. He's gone in a slump at the wrong time, Rob.
In their last three games,
he's 0 for 12.
Wow.
And actually, last 4 games, he's 1 for 17. So he's fallen. He's 315 now. He's like, I mean, granted, there's still enough time for him to make up if he gets hot. But he's several points below in the batting average. He's still tied for the lead in homers with 46. RBI is behind as well.
Yeah, but
so
this stretch was not great. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way he's going to win it now. I mean,
he'd have to be incredibly hot.
Right.
He has to be incredible. And RBI is way back. So, looks like it'll be Shohei Ohtani as the MVP.
You called it.
Hey.
You got it.
Yeah, man. Impressive. We are the iCouple. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or SoundCloud. Download, subscribe, 5 stars, and a comment. And keep it locked right here at Fox Sports Radio. We got Jason Smith and Mike Harmon next. See you tomorrow. Peace!